Christmas cards are small, flat, folded pieces of paper or cardboard, imprinted with an illustration and a greeting, and meant to be sent to friends and relations. They are a hallmark of American culture, created, as so many Americans' products are, at the intersection of care and convenience. Indeed, like many of the things we buy for each other, they are care commodified. But why do Americans send these holiday greetings? There are no Christmas cards mentioned in any of the biblical accounts. People in traditional societies had little need of Christmas cards. But in a society of people moving up and moving on, we need some form of social stability as counterpoint to our social and geographic mobility. Christmas cards express our social embeddedness in a culture of individualists. Each year, they allow us to take an inventory of our relationships, even when some of them have declined to the rudimentary level of exchanging Christmas cards. Unlike Christmas gifts, which usually affirm our close connections, Christmas cards can comfortably be exchanged with people we haven't seen for decades. With time at a premium, too, Americans are just too busy to care more for all of the people in our lives than a Christmas card allows. Because of the ways that we institutionally structure our time, it's hard for us individually to make time for our social relationships. In our hurly-burly society, we buy condensed books and condensed milk. The Christmas card is a package of condensed care. A rigorous set of cultural rules governs the exchange of Christmas cards. Tolerance requires that cards not express religious convictions too explicitly to people who don't share them. Increasingly, cards express either a vague happiness for the holiday season or a vague religious sentiment, like peace on earth, so widely accepted that it is considered unexceptional. Mutuality says that if someone sends you a Christmas card, you must return the favor, failure to do so being a conscious snub. The etiquette of personalization suggests that senders should inscribe the card with a personal note. With love, we say. Hope all is well with you, we write generically. Or, it's been so long. Let's get together this year, we say with utter insincerity. Etiquette also requires that the cards be signed. This is not because Americans are autograph hounds, but because the signature is a sign of the care that's condensed in the card itself. An unsigned Christmas card is like a handshake with gloves on, an incomplete gesture that's almost insulting. Like most of the preparations of the holiday season, Christmas cards are usually women's work. Santa Claus may coordinate the productions of the North Pole, but elsewhere in North America, Mrs. Claus does most of the work. In most American families, females send the Christmas cards, even to the male's friends and relations. This practice dates from a time when men and women occupied separate social spheres, with wives maintaining home ties, while their husbands established the family's links to paid work and public life. Because the contemporary wife and mother increasingly works full-time, however, the composition and mailing of Christmas cards is increasingly a part of what sociologist Arlie Hochschild calls the second shift, the extra hours of unpaid work that women put in to maintain American households. For the recipient, Christmas cards are both a remembrance of things past and a promise, however implausible, of relationships to come. To be carded, to be Christmas carded, that is to be identified as a member of a network of people divided by distance but connected by sentimental custom. So, many families display their associations, arranging the cards decoratively on the mantle, on a window, or around doorways. The quantity of these cards tells visitors that the residents are not as isolated as they often seem in everyday life. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, signing off quickly to get back to signing those cards.